I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You be you and I'll be me, ladies and gentlemen. It's just a matter of style. Welcome to the Football Ramble. We've got Premier League, Serie A and La Liga for you beauts. It's Tuesday the 14th of July. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Pete Donaldson. Sorry, Brassel.
Oh, we were good there.
I was working from a previous earlier in the day running order. I am Vitushan Hantharaja. Pleasure to meet you all.
Do you know how rare it is that I actually get that right, Pete, and you just
I had no idea. Sorry, mate. Never mind.
What you've done is a disgrace.
I'm a disruptor.
Yes.
That's how I play the game.
You are a disruptor indeed. It is the 14th of July, everybody. Mm. 1 day after Harrison Ford, Craig Bellamy, and my birthday. And don't give me that happy belated crap.
Pathetic.
You all missed out and I'm angry. You've hurt me.
How many people have rocked up after the 12 o'clock midnight cutoff GMT?
Nobody's done your Facebook wall. The sun is up.
The sun is up.
Daylight is here. You've ruined it. You've missed it for another year.
Ashley Young did a birthday celebration for you, though, didn't he?
I appreciated that very much. So
yeah.
We'll get to Ashley Young in a bit. Andy.
Lovely.
It was a hit.
It was a lovely hit. But let's talk about his former club first and foremost. Watford. No, Manchester United. They drop points. Solskjaer out. I knew it. I knew that he couldn't keep it going. Yes, Manchester United, they dropped 2 points, vital points, in this sort of cannonball run-esque run for the race for the final two Champions League spots. I say that the cannonball run two was on the other night. Thoroughly enjoyable.
In the second one.
You had the perfect big man, little man combo with Jackie Chan and the guy who played Jaws and James Bond.
Right, okay.
That's one up on Fashanu and Gibson, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah. Quite a few up as well. You've got a sheikh who's dishing out all the money. And that doesn't lead us into Manchester City, Andy.
No. Annoys your neighbours, maybe.
But of course, there is only two Champions League spots left. Realistically, now Liverpool and Man City have got the top two. A win would have seen Manchester United move into third, but they're now fifth, Peter. Fifth on goal difference.
They really didn't match them for intensity,
yes,
or physicality. Southampton were really physical in this match. It was very, very enjoyable to see. They've really sort of turned it around.
Should Harry Maguire continue marking Aaron Wan-Bissaka at corners?
Maybe, I don't know. Everyone has very strong, should you have people on the line, should you not? Should you be man-marking on the corner? I would say yes on the second bit, to be honest.
Yeah. Brendan Rodgers, he would have enjoyed Obi Femi's equaliser in the 96th minute, Andy.
I've never seen such a sad face as his after Bournemouth versus Leicester.
I didn't enjoy that
at all.
He
was, you know, sort of two steps away from going Mother of God, wasn't he? You know?
I enjoyed...
Sweet Mary.
I enjoyed very much Letizia on the telly talking about Manchester United being full of confidence, and also Southampton full of confidence. Confidence, you can't see it.
No.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks for clearing that up. You can't see it.
It's like the wind.
You
can
see
its effects.
It was also amusing how he was asked by Kelly Cates about how Obafemi must have felt about scoring at Old Trafford. And he's like, yeah, well, you know, normally when you score at Old Trafford, you know, there's loads of boos. And I was thinking, he was the one who scored the Massimo Taibbi goal.
Yeah. Yes.
Wasn't he at Old Trafford? So that would be why there were boos. Massimo Taibbi, who I have to say, played four games for Manchester United. Mm-hmm. Three of them, he was absolutely terrible. Mm. The other one, he stopped Wimbledon winning at Old Trafford.
I knew it was going to be a Wimbledon-related thing. Yeah.
Thanks a million.
Yeah. Ramped it up.
When you said Matt Letizia said there was loads of boos, I thought, well, Matt, that was the 90s for you. you know, the dressing rooms after. But yeah, I mean, it's a fascinating run-in, this sort of top four business, isn't
Man
it?
Man United-Leicester? Like, that's going to be it's going to be a big match.
Well, it is.
Season, isn't it?
But that Leicester will
Can Leicester push it that far? Because, you know, I think you look at the remaining fixtures, and obviously this will be a boost for Brendan Rodgers, you would say, to an extent. But on the other hand, I look at those games and where can you see Leicester winning? Like, I suppose
they've
you could have
nothing
said,
since we came back.
Yeah, really. I mean, you could have said that about Bournemouth two games ago, I suppose. But I don't know, maybe this is the moment. I don't want to bring it back to Leicester because obviously the guys spoke about that yesterday. Maybe that shambles of a second half will shake Leicester into some sort of action. But definitely a surprising boost for Leicester. This Southampton getting a great point. And it was interesting talking about, you heard Harry Maguire saying, you know, we knew that Southampton would be dangerous because they were playing with the pressure off and all that. They didn't play like that.
No.
They didn't play like it meant nothing. No. They didn't play like they were just there to enjoy themselves. They were playing like a team who really enjoys being good again.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try my best to get through this conversation without mentioning
when
the 9-0.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, isn't
it? Catalyst. Yeah.
Do you think Le Havre are going to bounce back from being beaten in a friendly one like PSG 9-0? Is that the same thing?
Yeah, do you know
what? Were they really pleased? Yes, mission accomplished.
Do you know what?
We were worried at 7.
Especially in front of an audience, which isn't particularly common these days. 4,980 fans at that game.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think look at a lot of teams, they get thrashed by PSG and they go from strength to strength. I think that's normally how it works.
It is. I'm loving your football terminology at the moment. We had the corridor of applause, or whatever it was, and then you refer to the fans as the audience.
Did
I like it? Yeah. Great indie band.
Yeah. Touch showbiz brush, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, that's the thing. Ellis Bextor has been absolutely smashing lockdown, hasn't she?
Good old Sophie.
But you'd sort of say with Manchester United, certainly outside of certain periods in the match, they looked so leggy. Pogba obviously didn't turn into performance, and neither did a lot of his compadres. But with talk of the league starting again, like 12th of September, when are these players going to get a rest? I know this is a massively squished up kind of set of games, but Manchester United just looked really, really thin and really, really leggy. And I think Euro 2022.0 is the next time anyone's going to get a rest after their prospective international teams get knocked out. I feel sorry for them.
Well, so let me get this right. You want the players to have more time off?
I'd like them to have a little bit more time off between the end of the season and the start of next, especially if they're in European competition.
It's a very, very good point.
It's like, an excellent
point. Next
Thank
season.
Thank you, Andy.
Next season could be like rotten, actually, couldn't it? And I think you look at one of the major casualties, it's probably going to be the Nations League, because you've already had Hansi Flick and saying he might not let his Bayern players go out for those games. Those international games at the beginning of September looked like the most unwelcome international games. Sorry, Marcus. Looked like the most unwelcome international games ever. And given how a lot of people these days feel about international football, that is saying something.
Not everybody. It's a Marcus slim majority.
I'm your team.
Marcus's armrest is made of cake. He's just crushed it with his hand.
Look, I hadn't thought about this, Andy, as if there's not been enough, disruption.
I haven't wanted to worry you, Marcus.
I forgot that we might miss out on the Nations League just when I started to really... That's absolutely gutting.
But fundamentally, it's going to be a stinking Euro 2020. I know that for a fact. Everyone's going to be injured. Everyone's going to be exhausted. I just can't see how it's going to...
Well,
it's just going to be Cristiano Ronaldo, some dust and a pile of bricks.
Yeah, he'll be all right. Don't worry about that. Well, maybe Kane will be there because he would, of course, miss this summer, really, you would have thought.
Mm.
Let's look on the bright side. England have got a chance, ladies and gentlemen, as they always don't. Back to Southampton, away to Manchester United. You see Sir Alex Ferguson. Old Alex Fergie was in the crowd wearing a mask incorrectly.
Well, how was he wearing it?
Not covered the nose.
Bottom off?
Not oh, you covered the yeah, nose. Yeah, you know that yeah. sort of, you know, that sort of, was it the World War II cartoon appearing over
Nosey.
The wall? Was it Nosey?
Alex Ferg, yeah.
Yeah, he looked a bit like that.
I think his name was Nosey, yeah.
Yeah, that'll do. You know yeah. you know the one. Yeah, so Fergie, you know, we're concerned about that.
Was he inhaling red wine through a nostril?
Yeah, maybe that's
because I find, like, walking, I walk around with a coffee and I've got a mask on. I was like, ah, oh, I've really fucked this, haven't I?
Have you not got a little straw poking through the side?
No, no. Uh-huh. I can't. I have massive amounts of truck with the paper straw. Is having truck good or bad? I forget. If you've got no truck with something,
it means you're not having it.
You're not having it. I've yeah. got no truck yeah. with paper straws. I can't
see.
Be bothered with them.
So you very much want the plastic straws.
I want them
you
back.
Hate turtles.
I hate turtles.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
I've never owned a car. I want my pound of flesh world.
You're gonna say I've never owned a turtle. I've never built up a relationship.
I've never even met a turtle.
I met the most famous turtle in the world, now dead, Lonesome George.
Oh, right.
Really?
Lonesome George, the last of the big Galapagos.
There's a reason
ones.
Why you wanted to be fucking Lonesome.
I bought him to death. Fella. That was the reason.
Not the Benfica Eagle, is I it, pal?
Ah, oh, no. Now you're talking.
He's a Lonesome Eagle.
He is.
Now, out, isn't he?
All out of choice.
Well, the eagle I met was the one who eventually got taken off to Lazio because his handler had a dispute.
Churching out, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had Lovely. A dispute with Benfica. He wanted like all these licensing rights and stuff.
What, the eagle?
So, the guy who was, let's not beat around the bush, a 45-year-old in full Benfica kit.
Yeah.
him and the eagle went off to Lazio and now Benfica...
I'm off. I'm taking my eagle with me.
Benfica employ a two-eagle rotation system, which nice. Is very modern football.
Oh, you've yeah. got to have a... Look,
you have Vitoria and Glorioso.
This nice. Is wonderful.
I love that Andy knows the names of the eagles. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Well, uh-huh. Do Man United have, like...
You've got to have depth in your squad these days.
Who's there? Do they have new devils? They have a couple of devils.
A couple of devils, yeah.
Devil
you'd hope there. So. I mean, it is awfully hot in those costumes.
A new devil is arriving... So he's at Lazio, this guy. Oh, blimey, interesting.
I like that.
Peter, you were about to say something.
I imagine if I was Alex Ferguson, I'd also be annoyed that in modern football, you have to have three forwards.
Yeah.
It used to be one, maybe two, yeah. maybe one coming off the bench. Now you've got to have two sets of three.
Yeah, it is frustrating. But I'd say something interesting when you say that. Anthony Martial is the first Manchester United player since Al Wazza in 2008 to reach 50 Premier League goals. I'm surprised by that. You think of the forwards that they've had over the years. Is that a...
Well, I think they're certainly spreading them around, obviously, but Marshall, Rashford and Greenwood, they've got 56 goals between them this season. Mm. If Greenwood breaks 20 goals, it'll be the first time since the 60s they did that, which is incredible. I mean, it's 20 goals for three individual players is crazy.
Well, because Solskjaer, he shipped off Lukaku.
Yes.
And Martial, not your kind of conventional centre-forward. I don't know what a conventional centre-forward is these days now that Michael Owen's retired. But I don't know. What do you make of that Manchester United front line? Because it looks exciting and dynamic.
Yeah, it looks great. I think that they probably do need that bit of help because you can't rely on three players to stay fit
and a different
all season.
Option as well.
Yeah, and a different option. Absolutely. But Martial has started to look like the kind of player that Manchester United invested all that money in the first place. When he's good, he's really, really good. And there were definitely bits of that game where Southampton could not deal with him whatsoever. I think you could say the same about Marcus Rashford. I mean, the thing to love about Marcus Rashford is the fact that even when he's not scoring, he does so much. But bringing in Mason Greenwood, I guess we're going to get to the Oriol Romeo challenge. Mm-hmm.
Assault.
It was a point that was actually made on Twitter by Nuruddin Chowdhury, which I think was a very good one. Of all the things you could get upset about with VAR, missing something like that has to be big. And I think Nuruddin made a really good point. And he said, basically, if you think of, like, you know, arguments over minute offsides and penalties, these are irritances within the context of a game. Like with a little bit of bad luck either way, you're looking at Greenwood being out for 6 months.
Yeah, but you compare that to who was sent off for Arsenal against Leicester?
Nketiah.
Yeah, you know that challenge. Now it was an Arsenal one. Nketiah, I would say, didn't mean that. He was just a bit unlucky.
Yeah, can we not go there because like the didn't mean it bit. This is totally irrelevant to this conversation.
No. Like, hear me out.
Matt Letizia said that, didn't he? Actually, about Oriol Romeo. Not
meaning
it.
Hear me out on this because Nketiah, I don't think he meant it. I don't think this, that, and the other. Blah 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 blah. And yet, look at what happened, and you understand the red card with Romeo. whether he meant it or not, it was a nasty one for me. And the way he's kind of gone in and sort of, I don't think he's maybe meant it, but you know, as a player, if you move like that, you know, that was more, he could see it coming. Whereas in Nketiah, I think it was, he was unlucky.
Do you think because the Romeo challenge was so relatively slow, like that, almost like it, if it had been harder and faster impact, if it had been more intense, do you reckon like they would have changed their minds?
I think if it was raining, they probably would have changed their minds. Because it would have been
crucial.
Like, oh, you can't go in like that if it's raining. You don't know what's going to happen.
It's difficult to try and work it out.
It is. But it's a shame that Oriol Romeu is, you know, in the news, if you like, or the sports football news, certainly because of that. Because he's had a great season. Actually, he's been playing very well. He's vital to that Southampton side. You know, a real sort of heartbeat of that midfield in terms of the engine room, as we like to say. I mean, you rate him, and you know he's having a good time.
Yeah, he is, and I think people thought he would progress a lot more quickly. And I guess it sort of ties in with what we were saying about Martial. I think we have unreasonable expectations of players sometimes, and we overlook the fact that they develop at a rapidly different rates. And that's the case with Romeo as well.
It is, yeah. It was a good point for Southampton nonetheless. And it's blown that third and fourth place. No, that's usually a crap affair, isn't it? A third and fourth place, mate. That third and fourth Champions League spot race more open than what it was.
Well, Man United could be playing, is it Başak Şehir?
Yes.
In the next round. And what happened to them last night, Andy? That sounded very exciting.
They could have won the league for the first time ever.
Yeah.
If they'd have won at Konyaspor, who are in the relegation zone.
I'm guessing they didn't.
And Trabzonspor, who's second, had lost at Denizlispor. Now, Trabzonspor went 1-0 up and did lose at Denizlispor, whereas Başak Şehir were losing 3-1 at half-time at Konyaspor, came back to 3-3, great Demba Ba header in that little lot, and then ended up losing 4-3. I mean, it does mean they're still very likely to win the league for the first time ever, 4 points clear with 2 games to go, but it never goes in a straight line in the Turkish Super League.
Well, and this story doesn't go in a straight line, because you might think to yourself, oh, isn't that amazing, you know, break it up, the kind of dominance of the Galatasarays and this, that and the other, but when you find out that Erdogan's are they backed by him or something like that?
By supporters and friends of his.
Yes, okay. The fairy tale becomes more just a tale.
We've all got friends.
We've all
got friends, Marcus. What have you got against friends, however well off they might be?
This sounds very much like, I'm watching the Lance Armstrong documentary at the moment. It sounds very much like, look, just because I'm mates with George W. Bush, it doesn't mean we share the same politics.
Once again, I would love to go back to a time where we thought he was the worst thing that could happen. Robinho plays for Pazuk.
Oh, the look on his face after the fourth goal.
Yeah, that's what you want. It's not what you want. Gentlemen, I'd like to go to Serie A, if I may. I promised the listeners at the start. And Inter, they beat Torino last night 3-1. Terrible error from Handanovic for Belotti's goal for Torino. I mean, it was just almost like, I hear it's a big birthday today. Why don't you have a gift?
It was like
a shocking goal.
Sort of say if you're doing training and it's like, oh shit, game. Yeah, we're in a game.
Yeah, sorry about that. I thought we were practicing. I thought the cameras hadn't rolled. I thought we were off air.
You don't know how to get this close to me.
But Lottie was just like, all right, yeah. Does that count? Can I have that?
But Handanovic is one of the very best goalkeepers in Serie A. It's totally inexplicable. Inexplicable. But so much about Inter is totally inexplicable. Some of the points they've dropped since coming back as well. I mean, it should be a title race. It's not really a title race.
It's so frustrating.
Their main opposition at the moment is GDPR. Did you see they sent out an email to the whole group of transfer targets they wanted to buy?
Oh, no, I didn't see this.
They've got Chinese ownership, haven't they?
Yes.
They sent an email to the Chinese the Chinese company that owns them. These are our transfer targets. Mm-hmm. We're talking like Jan Vertonghen, Vidal, people like that. And so it's out in the open that this letter has been published. This email got sent to the whole company. Obviously, got leaked.
Yeah.
And that's going to put a few more million on the price of anyone for.
On the plus side, Pete, those first couple of lines there. This is really going to surprise you, but Antonio Conte is interested in a load of old boys who played in the Premier League.
I know.
That's amazing. I thought when you first started saying, you meant that they'd emailed the players. By the way, just little heads up, we are going to come in for you. So get your wage demands in quickly and all that sort of stuff. But Ashley Young, the aforementioned Ashley Young, scored a nice little volley. Nice little vol to equalise. Always pleasing to see.
He is on fire at the moment. He's playing so, so well. Of course, they've extended his contract to cover next season as well.
He just goes on and on.
He's been magnificent for them. And the fact that they are really committing to this three at the back next season, of course, they've got Ashraf Hakimi, who's going to be their right wing back as well. Mm. Lovely little pair that, isn't it?
Mm. I tell you what, Ashley Young, when he turns 30, or well, I can't remember when he was properly converted into a sort of a wing back, if you like, but... What is he, 34, 35? And he's playing wing back. Okay, Serie A's a little bit slow, but I love that, the fact that if people slow down, he's speeding up, Andy.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. But of course, he was involved in the second goal as well. He chipped the free kick for Alexis Sanchez to head it across the goal, and it was put in by Diego Godin, who probably won't be there next season. But Alexis Sanchez is an interesting question.
Yeah.
Because, of course, because of his injury, because of the pause in the season, I mean, James Horncastle wrote an interesting thing about this at the weekend. You know, what will they do with Sanchez? Have they really seen enough to take him on for next season?
Well.
I think they would want to take him on. He is definitely one of those players that, well, obviously Manchester United desperately don't want him back. We'll come on to, I suspect, Gareth Bale in a bit, but there are definitely, he's in that zone of players like Gareth Bale, where in this environment, big clubs are going to have to pay those players to sod off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, we're going back to Leeds and Robbie Fowler sort of business.
Oh, now you're talking. What did you think of almost all the Torino attackers starting, running back to their own goal when Simone Verdi took the corner for one of the intergoal? That was an interesting strategy. Sort of some sort of weird zonal tidal.
It's like you've pressed the wrong button on FIFA. Yeah. You know, where they're going? This is scripting.
Well, that was very interesting. But yeah, since the restart, they've only won 4 out of their 8 matches, which of course has blown the title race, really, for us.
They've solved the Lukaku digestive problem.
Do you think?
He's lost a load of weight. Apparently, he's got a misbehaving digestive system.
Oh, but like
nobody at Man United. Well, exactly. I'm, you know. Yeah, my problem is it refuses to turn carver to muscle. But I mean, it's and I eat too much fried food. But yeah, Lukaku looks great at the moment. He's shifted a lot of weight.
He has. He's looking beautiful. Lazio have only won 2 of their 6 matches since the restart, and so they're both.
Do you know they got a bit of a telling off at the training ground yesterday?
Oh, so they should.
Got a golden boy at Simone Inzaghi and all the rest. The owner Claudio Lotito turned up to the training ground and demanded explanations, I believe the expression is.
Well, it's been such a shame.
The Jimmy Bollard-esque was a waggy finger.
Yeah.
Kind of.
But the thing is, it should have been a short discussion. It should have been, well, look, if we had a squad to speak of, this wouldn't be happening.
And it's disappointing. Some of the points they've dropped against some of the teams. It is a shame.
They've looked exhausted these last couple of weeks.
I know.
And that's been the problem.
But in the name of a title race in Serie A, it's been for us neutrals, who don't want Juventus to just keep on dominating. It's a shame. And they're both 6 points behind Juve, which is despite Juventus themselves losing to Milan and dropping points to Atalanta recently.
I don't think it is 6 points. I think it's 8 points. I'm pretty sure it's 8 points.
Oh, no, yeah, you might be right there. So, yeah, so it's even worse.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, right you are. So not even my lies could make it better round.
I gave us the...
Inter press office.
Yeah. I gave them I ponied up and said Atalanta are free scoring. They're not going to get all 3 points. And I just... Enjoyable. Enjoyable. Ah,
they're an absolute delight to watch, Atalanta. But we've got more of them to come, of course, in the Champions League.
That's going to be good.
That's next month, so we don't want to talk about that just at the moment. Right, everybody. Peter is back with another mystery noise.
Oh, it's Pete's mystery voice. You hope you're enjoying it. That's the that's the jingle. I've got a mystery voice. I've got a mystery noise.
Voice or noise?
I mean, noise.
Okay.
David, it could be anything.
David noise.
Could be voice, could be noise. You guys have got to guess who it is and why they're making that noise. We're going to have the result at the end of the show, so a really cynical way of retaining show listens. So don't turn away if you really want to know what this sound has come from. Right. Are you ready, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Ready.
Right.
Can we have that again?
Yes, you can.
Do we have to guess now? Or
no, you can guess at the end.
At the end of the show.
And I'll give you a reminder. This is your final play for now, though, as we head into an ad break.
Blimey. I'll tell you something. The noises ain't what they used to be. All right, well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. What a way to end a fantastic half, I think you'll agree. After we get... There it is again. just in case you didn't think it was that good. In the second half, we're going to talk about Adiak and Fenwa and La Liga. Stay tuned.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. As promised, we're going to go to the League One playoff final.
Yay!
Oxford United 1, Wycombe Wanderers 2. Wycombe Wanderers are promoted to the second tier of English football for the first time in their 133-year history.
I call this the immigratory broken promise derby. People who move to England think they're going to be in the city of dreaming spires, Mesopotamia, all those beautiful kind of like canals and beautiful. They end up in High Wycombe. They end up in Wycombe. You're thinking, I've got this really romantic idea of what Britain's like. It's going to be punting down the Cam or not the Cam in Oxford, whatever their river is. And you end up in Wycombe. So I always think, I saw these two teams, I was like, I want Wycombe to win.
We did a live show in Wycombe, didn't we?
We did. It was very fun.
Yeah, we did. Kept those views to yourself, didn't you?
Yeah, I did,
Which is good, because you don't want to piss off an audience.
No, exactly, yeah. We're safe now. We'll never do another live show again.
Oh, my goodness. Andy, former Crazy Gang singer and current singer of Cold Blooded Hearts, Gareth Ainsworth, his lucky red cowboy boots worked a treat, didn't they?
Yes, he's looking more rock in his advancing years, isn't he? I mean, he's making a definite sort of lurch for the Rock Hall of Fame. But what an incredible job he's done.
Oh,
because really, they were so close to, they were just scrabbling around at the bottom of League One.
Well, they were predicted to go down by Sean and Pickle, weren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Obviously, there has been the change in ownership halfway through this season. But I think you look at the individual players, look at someone like Darius Charles, for example, who was told to retire from the game. If you go back, what, a year and a half or so? Mm. And through this incredible regime has managed to not just continue playing, but continue playing and be a really vital player for them. It's really impressive. But I think the way he's managed various characters as well, Gareth Ainsworth, he's able to connect with players in a way that I think few people are.
That definitely comes across.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you look at the way he encourages players to go and make something of themselves outside the game. He has an understanding. I mean, he had a lot of injuries in his career. Funnily enough, he was really popular at Wimbledon, despite the fact he played about 30 games in 5 years, and they paid Port Vale what was quite a lot of money at the time for him. But he remained popular. But if you look at, you know, he's got Marcus Bean, who's allowed to go off a day a week and has gone podcasting. Akinfenwa, we know all about his outside interests. And I think that's probably why, I think Akinfenwa's been there 4 years now. That's probably why that relationship has endured, because he treats his players like adults.
Yeah.
And he gets buy-in from not holding them too close, if you see what I mean. Yeah. I think that's a really, really interesting way of, like, you know, managing players like adults is not something that's really seen as the done thing. Well, certainly in the past, it's not seen as the done thing, is it?
Yeah. Joe Jacobson coolly tucked away the winner from the penalty spot because of the you know, no crowd being there and so on, which is always quite eerie in Wembley. I think club stadiums, we sort of maybe get used to it when it happens at Wembley, but you can hear a Wickham player shouting on the pylon, "Oh, it's in different class." And do you know what? That's one of the most enjoyable things, actually, with no fans there. The celebrations are still as passionate and the same. And I know that sounds sort of slightly weird thing to say.
Well,
but
I think in the Man United huddle when they were playing earlier, that I saw like a couple of players look to the cameras as if to go, "Is this how long we got to do it for?" Because there's no, you know, nobody's celebrating, nobody's shouting.
Yeah.
But I think it was a cacophony in the final 10. People were just going, like, screaming inside the final 10. So I'm so pleased for that team. Now, I think you said at the end, I said, yeah, like 9 players. Going into the season, the 3 of them were trialists. Like, incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
It sucks if you're Daniel Farke, though. I mean, you know, bad enough getting relegated at the weekend. He's like, "Oh, shit, we're playing Wickham in the league next season." It's definitely one of those come-down fixtures.
Yeah.
I think when you get relegated from the Premier League, you definitely look at those come-down fixtures. Yeah, Barnsley's always the one, isn't it, really?
Yeah. Sometimes Brentford.
I don't know. I think not at the moment. I think Daniel Farke, though, would he not share musical tips with Gareth Ainsworth? I could see them
getting together.
Yeah, getting a band or something. The Warm Blooded Hearts, perhaps.
Well, I don't know. I could see Farke as the Bez, to be honest,
or the bouncer. I tell you, well, managers currently in the Championship, although might be in the Premier League next season. Slaven Bilic, of course, played in that band Robbo. They were called
Robert, yeah. I think, wasn't it?
Robert,
I think I was obsessed with the name for quite a while.
Oh, okay.
Video evidence.
That's right. Lauren Robert was the name of the group.
In left wing.
The lyrical content, certainly. I heard from somebody quite recently that when Bilic was West Ham manager, they went on a pre-season tour to Seattle and played a bit there. And it was because Bilic wanted to go there because he loved the Seattle sound from like the late 80s and early 90s.
Really?
Apparently so. Yeah, apparently he's a lovely man, Bilic. Very charming, very warm. He loves his music and particularly that era of music. And that's the reason. I had that from reasonably good authority.
Well, there's a whole boutique hotel in Seattle that's totally grunge themed, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I would
wanted.
Exactly.
Someone buying his cardigan for 100 grand. Oh, brilliant. Uh-huh.
Just as well, I'm not a manager. Where are we going for pre-season? Manchester boys, come on.
Well, we have to talk about Akinfenwa's post-match interview.
We got an email here from Laurie Illingworth, who says, "Greetings, Ramble team. I've often envisaged that my first email to the Football Ramble would be long-winded and sophisticated. However, I'll keep it short. Congratulations to Wickham Wanderers on their promotion to the Championship and to Adebayo Akinfenwa for producing the greatest post-match interview of all time." That's from Laurie, a long-suffering Derby County fan. But yeah, Akinfenwa, you just couldn't begrudge that kind of joy.
I think on this podcast I've said before, I don't. I've kind of had issues with Akinfenwa's kind of popularity because I think that body shows disrespect to his teammates. His teammates work really hard. I don't think that's all muscle. Even in yesterday's match, he came on for 20 minutes. He ambled around. He was awful. Defenders were managing to out-muscle him.
This is definitely the narrative, isn't it?
And then at the final whistle, it's all about him. Turns me off a bit. But then you look at his figures, he's probably not on a lot of money. Everyone who's coming to contact him absolutely loves him. Do I want to be Graeme Souness or Marcus Speller? I want to be Marcus Speller.
Thank you, sir.
I want to be happy with my life.
Well,
so he's made the most of his talents. He's gotten a double figures once again this season on not a huge amount of money. He's performed at an excellent level all throughout his career. and he's carved out a bit of a niche for himself. So what's my fucking problem? Well, my problem?
He has turned.
Is it because he's a bit overweight?
I think that he has turned a 133-year-old piece of history into himself. I mean, that's probably what you're talking about.
Can I just say, for those who do doubt it's all muscle, Marcus and I have both had a hug off him. It's definitely muscle.
Yeah.
I can still feel it. And that was 5 years ago.
I know what you mean, Peter. It's not...
I've said it all the way through his career. I'm good on him.
Yeah.
It's not all muscle. It's not all muscle.
Well, if you're listening, Addy, come round here.
Come round here and throw me through a fucking window.
So when the lockdown's finished, Pete can cop a feel. Essentially.
Just squeeze me.
Pete can cop a feel when you're not tensing.
To come and get me, please.
It is. It really is. Gutting for Oxford United, though. More possession, more shots.
Yeah. Sam Allardyce's grandson might get his game now. So
yeah,
it's fine. Well,
so there's always a bigger picture there. Of course, we're ready to move on to La Liga, gentlemen. I tell you what, Madrid hearts were in mouths. The royal Madrid kind, of course. A hard fought but vital win for Los Blancos. They are one win away from a 34th league title win. They did ride their luck a bit at the end of that game away to Granada, and Courtois was given man of the match, which sort of tells its own story, I suppose, Andy. But Zidane was relieved, wasn't he? I tell you what it was. It was Chelsea away to Blackburn Rovers, 04-05, 1-0. Robin, I think, scored a goal, checks out the penalty, and at the final whistle, Mourinho, when he's fist pumping, that low fist pump, sort of relief.
He made this noise.
But it's a great win, and Zidane, you know, what a return if they can get this over the line.
Zidane was expressive. I think that's the story, isn't it? Because Mourinho, you always expect that kind of thing from him, but Zidane applauded one of the goals.
Yeah.
He smiled when they got a free kick near the end.
It's always pleasing to win a free kick.
I mean, but that's extraordinary. You don't normally get that degree of expression from him, do you? And Real Madrid were really, really good in the first half. The goal by Ferland Mendy was brilliant. And Karim Benzema getting involved again. He's, you know, been one of the best players. Some would argue the best player. Mm-hmm. Certainly the most influential player in La Liga this season.
Often overlooked, Benzema.
Yeah, absolutely.
You love it. Who do you prefer, Benzema or Memphis Depay?
Oh, Benzema.
All right, Benzema or...
Benzema's more likely to play for Lyon in, like, the season after next.
Benzema or...
I'm not saying it's likely. I'm just saying it's more likely.
My final one, Benzema or Quaresma? I knew I'd get him on that,
Peter. you're a naughty little man.
A naughty little man.
What a lovely little man. Go on, sorry. So Benzema, he's been crucial. But they won this game without needing a Sergio Ramos penalty, which is the story for me.
That's very important. He did his best to bait Granada in the closing stages.
He
ramps up towards the end of the season, doesn't he? Once the European competition start to heat up, he's just like, I'm going to be primo shithouse.
Yeah, we're talking about people who go on and on. I mean, Ramos will be doing this when he's 39.
He will. That's the thing, the extraordinary thing, especially as, like, I guess, like, as time goes on, people will pick less holes in his defending because he's getting older. And maybe they're at one with the fact that he's not the perfect defender. He's something different to that. He's something more than that. But that second half, though, really under the cosh. I mean, Granada have played very, very well recently. Theoretically, they could still get to Europe. A point would have been very, very helpful for them as they try and make it to the Europa League. Only promoted this season. And, you know, they're brilliantly coached. But that's the sort of win you really need to get over the line in La Liga. And again, it's the sort of win that, on the whole, you don't really see Barcelona getting. You go back a couple of weeks and see when Real Madrid really had to grind out a 1-0 at Espanyol. Again, these are the wins that you really don't see them getting. And if you go back, and I was saying this to someone the other day, go back to Zinedine Zidane winning the Champions League in his first spell for the first time in 2016, when they out Atletico Madrid in the final.
Yeah,
and actually,
that was the one Pete was at. Zero.
Oh, really? That is their thing.
That was the one at the San Siro. Yeah, because Carlo Ancelotti was in charge.
Like, you know, people will always say Zidane Madrid is beauty. It's not beauty.
Oh no,
and it's not about that at all. And in fact, I think when, of course, a lot of Manchester City fans celebrating after they're no longer banned from the Champions League for next season, and fair enough. But I think when it comes back to this season's Champions League, I realise they've got a very advantageous result from the first leg. Do not count Real Madrid out of this.
No.
They do not concede goals at the moment,
don't
really.
Write them off.
I mean, they've got a better defence than Atletico this season, which is really saying something. It's so rare. And as you say, Courtois has been absolutely knocking it out of the park all season.
And if Mendy's finishing from that kind of position, it's almost like, you need to pass that. Yeah. I don't care if you've scored. You need to pass that because that was ridiculous.
Yeah, you've been watching too much Roberto Carlos, my son.
If he didn't play for Real Madrid, someone would be saying, he's trying to pass that.
Yeah.
Oh, do you?
I think so.
True enough. Peter, who's got the ire of football fans in Spain more? Is it the ruling that Manchester City got in their favour, or is it Gareth Bale?
Come on. Look, I just think if you're a Man City fan, and I've said this on Twitter, enjoy it. Everyone is angry with you. Man United have just lost. Imagine if they won the...
Well, they drew.
Sorry.
Felt like a loss.
Yeah, felt like a loss. Can you imagine how good they feel today?
Yeah.
Man City fans. Javier Tebas. He's to be fair, he's been banging this drum for a very, very long time about state-owned clubs, certainly Manchester City's sort of section. He has opened illegal offices in China and Singapore and South Africa.
Yeah,
And he is a supporter of Vox, the racist man's thinking party. So I reckon there's something else going on maybe a little bit, but I'm not going to say anything because he is very well off. He looks a bit like Martin Yol.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah, but Martin
he looks
Yol,
a bit like Martin Yol.
Yeah, but there's something distinctly missing. Martin Yol looks very friendly, avuncular type of guy.
Right.
I don't think Tebas, especially what you just reeled off there.
Wasn't Martin Yol's brother? He's got two brothers, Dick and Cock, hasn't he? Hilariously, Martin Yol.
No, he doesn't.
Well, he has, honestly.
No,
he one of them's a referee. One of them is a footballer.
True. Yeah.
Dick and Cock. Oh, yeah. And his cousin's Brian Penis.
Get out, Marcus. Get out. Dick and Cock, yeah.
Cock Yol.
So maybe it's one of them.
Yeah. Cock Yol. Sorry. Enough of that.
Martin can't believe Martin? Martin can't believe it, and he's Marcus.
Yeah, exactly.
World.
There's a lot of... Where are we? Real Madrid. They have fifth place Villarreal at home, and then 18th placed Leganes, who could already be relegated by then.
Mm.
So you've got... I mean, they're in pole position, aren't they? You look at that. Whereas Barcelona, they've got 11th placed Osasuna and then 17th placed Alaves. But I feel that it's going to Real Madrid, the league. Before we move on from La Liga, Andy, what about the no-look penalty Luis Ocampos did in Sevilla's win over Real Mallorca on Sunday night?
It wasn't just a no-look penalty.
Yeah.
He had a check me out look on his face as he put it away.
Uh-huh.
It's very, very impressive indeed.
Now watch this drive. Now watch this drag.
Was it more attention grabbing than Gareth Bale's gestures on the touchline?
Well, I just wonder what's next for Bale, whether it's like balloon animals or something in the stand. He's not far off that.
He's got to have a Rubik's cube at least, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Fire poi.
Let's go back briefly then. You mentioned sort of Man City. What is the view then in Spain at the moment? We know Tebas is very, very angry, Andy, with Manchester City's.
With everything.
With everything. Yeah. Well, as Pete says, he's, you know, questionable individual.
Oh, no, I don't think he's a questionable individual. I just sort of, you know, I think he was very angry about the Spanish Super Cup when they did that in Saudi Arabia. So, he's had a long-standing problem with that part of the world.
Yeah. But you could say, I mean, Barcelona, if my memory serves
me well. I am anti-Newcastle takeover, by the way.
You've made that very clear. Barcelona have perhaps had fortuitous punishments, if you like, in the past with this sort of stuff. What's the vibe in Spain over Manchester City?
Well, this is different, of course, isn't it? We're talking particularly about financial fair play, but this is something, and it's not just Manchester City; it's Paris Saint-Germain as well. This is a drum that Tebas has consistently banged, and he will carry on banging it way past the point when no one else is listening. I think we know where he stands on this, but I think it's interesting because for a lot of clubs, this idea of, you know, we think of it as just it affecting the top clubs and it being old money versus new money. I don't think it is just that, because I think the way the football world, the way the world in general is going to recalibrate itself after COVID-19. There's been a lot of talk in Germany particularly, and Germany, of course, has been a leader in bringing back football. Mm. And now they're being a leader in thinking, how is football going to be different going forward? And there's a lot of pressure from the fans there to say football should be more ethical, more sustainable, it shouldn't be about spending buckets of money. And obviously, German football fans feel like that. A lot of players in Germany feel like that as well. And I think it was the chairman of Augsburg said, we have to decide from now on whether we want football to be competitive sport again or whether we want it to be the entertainment industry. So I think when you look at other European countries, it's easy to pick out Tebas, and he's consistently angry about this issue. We know how he feels about it. But I think in terms of Manchester City and what they're able to do, and realise they're not going out and buying 100 million euro players or whatever, and I suspect that will be the case going forward as well. But in terms of the way people think football in general should go, I think there's maybe a little bit of concern.
A little bit of concern. There we are. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for the big sound reveal from Pete Donaldson.
The big sound reveal. It's my mystery sound. Before the break, you heard this noise. And we all enjoyed it. I think that's fair to say. Gentlemen, any ideas? I'm going to start with you, Andy.
It sounds like Jim.
This is someone involved in football, let's say. A little bit higher than Jim's level, let's say.
Do we have
And I don't like to be cruel.
Can we say the kind of... do we have to get the person right?
It's not important to get the person right, but give us the...
Like the context and where
context
it's
and where it happened, yeah.
Is it a commentator? And is he about to say Raul? Or like Raul's just scored. Is he Raul? Is that what it is?
No.
Ah. Are you? I fear I've used too much logic.
Gentlemen, it's this sound.
Long we out. Raul, what a goal! What a goal! What a goal by Mick Madden! Magic from James Mick Madden! He's a genius again for Scotland! They've been suckered in the Parc des Princes!
Suckered!
James Mick Madden!
Suckered!
40 yards!
40 yards!
That sounds like an English actor trying to do a Scottish accent.
You know? My next guess actually was going to be Ever Banega running his car over his own foot in tribute to Sevilla qualifying for the Champions League. Yeah. And I was going to say, oh, Donny, how did you know?
I love that. Yeah, that was...
It's Brian Harvey.
McFadden's goal from about 40 yards against France.
One of the best Scottish goals ever scored, I think. It
was a beauty, although the keeper might be slightly... Was it Hugo Lloris in goal, maybe?
Could have been.
I can't remember now, but the goalkeeper might have been touched disappointed, but lovely.
Didn't Scottish supporters reproduce the L'Equipe headline for a T-shirt?
Nice.
Which was?
Le douche froid.
Ah, very good indeed, which means...
The shower was cold.
Yeah, okay. Like the hearts, of course, those cold-blooded hearts, Gareth Ainsworth, heads up. Well, there we are. I hope you got the mystery sound. If you did, then an awful lot of money is coming your way. You've just got to find it. It's a big old treasure hunt. Tonight, Chelsea versus Norwich. So that should be a home win, of course. But on tomorrow's show, ladies and gentlemen, better news. Kate Vish and Luke are going to be in your ears chatting about football and other things. So there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to The Football Ramp. It's been an absolute pleasure. Say goodbye, Andy.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Peter.
Get in the orange Mustang.
And it's goodbye from me.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.